Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 97.
This week on the podcast, Sochi's top-notch commentators lead us to discover the greatest Olympic sport that never was.
And Obama's golf vacation is unexpectedly interrupted by a GOP reasonableness sneak attack.
The president figures that since everybody is calling it Obamacare, he can make it up as he goes.
And instead of learning from George Zimmerman's mistakes, Floridians are just giving him money.
Sinkholes are not afraid to show their taste for cheesy classic cars.
And it's a national crisis alert. The clown shortage is only getting worse.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com, and then on social media, where we always tell you
everywhere.
To find us. I've been really making an effort with Twitter. We're still
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's been a whirlwind last 36 hours, basically.
Today has been a shit show.
It's crazy.
So if you're wondering why this podcast includes very little information and is mostly about the Olympics, that is why.
That's all we know.
It's the only thing we are actually informed on at the moment.
We had a bit of a situation.
Yeah.
We had a lovely day yesterday in Santa Barbara. We took a little day trip with our friend Lauren, friend of the podcast,
right?
Lauren Leader. and we get home. And Lila drives home, and about 10 minutes later, I get a phone call from her, and she never calls me. We talk daily, obviously, but
never on the phone. No.
So I saw an incoming call, and I was like, well, this is obviously a suspect situation that's going on right now. So I answered, and...
My apartment was flooded out. There was just a pipe under my bathroom sink that burst.
Yeah, sure.
And was, like, just pouring, shooting water into the apartment.
No way to know how long it had been going on.
No way to know.
Standing water.
The entire apartment's covered in water. I live in a tiny studio, so like it was the entire apartment. My bathroom has 2 inches of water on the floor.
God.
It has to run through my closet to get
everywhere else.
Which it did. I got shocked because there was a freaking
trying
power
to unplug
strip.
Things.
Yeah, yeah, because a power strip was smoking and a lot.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
No,
it's like, at this, it's far enough away.
It's
from
far
then,
enough.
Right?
Away. We're
it's
far
not,
enough away from
soon.
It now. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not. It's never too soon. But So in any case, we have spent all of today dealing with that instead of dealing
with the podcast. We've been cleaning, we've been at Target, we've been to hardware stores,
Last night, because I spent, you know, I had to spend the night at Brent's house because I could not stay in my own apartment, and last night he was like, do you want to drive to my house or do you want me to drive? And maybe you don't know, but I hate driving anyway. And I was just like, I don't think I can...
I can't successfully drive a mile to your house.
And so Brent's been chauffeuring me around all day, basically, to help me pick up cleaning supplies and clean.
Yeah.
And, you know, have adventures with my landlord with me.
Mm-hmm.
But what a disaster.
Yeah. But today was sort of, like, scheduled to be podcast prep.
Correct.
Hasn't happened.
No podcast prep went on. What we did do was manage to watch the free skate prepares ice dancing.
We could have prepped the podcast, but we had 3 hours of ice dancing to watch.
Yeah, we were... Well, we knew that if there was one thing we wanted to discuss today
priorities
on the podcast, it was ice dancing.
And we went to lunch and we were like, let's just find a few of the news stories from last week that we know were big and talk about the Olympics.
Right. Which is what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do.
And our discussion of the Olympics begins with a very important topic that you didn't realize was this important
so
to listeners.
You may or may not be upset with the lack of actual information in this podcast that you're going to get, but... If you are only here to listen to what we are about to discuss, it will have been worth your time.
Correct.
Because there is a sport that is
now a dead sport. It's no
sadly
longer.
Not an Olympic sport.
Right.
But Lila discovered it earlier this week
and
shared it with the world.
Here's what happened. I was watching one of those insane ski events that was like
so many of them.
Nordic combined or like what it was one where they jump really high. It was like this the one freestyle
yeah,
or whatever.
Freestyle.
It's the freestyle.
Yeah.
They just go off one giant jump and do a crazy flip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was looking at it and I was like, this is a crazy sport. How did we end up with this?
Yeah.
Like this has been in the Olympics a long time. It's less crazy than slope style, which is just a skate park set to a downhill.
Right.
You know,
where they ski backwards.
Where they ski backwards, which you should
not
do.
That's not a thing.
Don't do that. That's dangerous. In any case, I'm listening to them commentate on one of the women who's like 32, so she's one of the older people competing in the event.
Yeah.
And they
she's skate. Probably had 74 knee surgeries.
Exactly. Yeah. She had had foot surgery on each foot.
Yeah. She's
had recently.
She had two leg replacement surgeries.
Exactly. Anyway, so probably a head replacement too, because they often hit their head in that coming down the hill. It's really dangerous. Anyway, they're like, oh, she's a good downhill skier. She's good at X, Y, and Z. She did ski ballet, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hold the phone. What is ski ballet? So I had to Google it. And what I found blew my mind.
It's crazy.
It is.
We're going to post it for you.
Craziest
it's
going to
be the greatest gift that you'll have ever
best
received.
Best sport that I've ever heard of. You know we love figure skating. This is figure skating,
it's figure skating on skis.
Literally,
they jump... Jump
they
up
do
and
axles.
Do like they, yeah, they do.
They were doing
yeah.
axles.
And not only that, they do something even better than axles yeah. is they stick their poles into the ground and leverage themselves yeah. up over the poles, like turning around over their poles.
They're
flipping over their poles.
That's
their
ski and poles. They do this thing where it looks like they're floating on air because they go up on the back of the ski and circle around. I mean, everything is the right
it's
thing to
epic.
Be doing.
And they did it as like an exhibition at a few Olympics.
And
then
decided not to do it.
And it's basically died
yeah.
since then because there's no reason to do it if you're not going to be able to do
exactly.
it at the Olympics.
It's one of those sports that like got supplanted by like slope style and those like newer sports that that snowboarders got everyone into.
No.
It should not have. This was a sport made for the
it's
ages.
For the people.
For the people.
Yeah.
It's basically, I mean, and figure skating is the most popular sport at the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
So I don't know what
it's
they were thinking.
It's figure skating on snow.
It's figure skating on snow.
Skis.
You go, you have music, you do a program to the music, people were wearing costumes.
Yes, there's puffy shirts
puffy
involved.
Puffy shirts involved.
Yes.
There were sequins involved. A lot.
All the things.
It's a lot to take in, but it's definitely worth your time to look
it's
up.
It's one of those things where, like, you had sent it, and you sent it sort of, like, late.
Yeah,
I think
sent
when
it in the middle
and
of
I
the night.
I hadn't watched it, and I forgot to watch it, and you asked me if I'd watched it, and you were like, it's going to blow your mind, and I was like, I'll fucking watch it then.
Right.
Just, like, leave me alone.
Right.
And then, within the first seconds...
You knew.
It's... That's it.
Yeah. No, that's all you need to know. Once
Man.
You've watched a second, you're going to want to watch a lifetime's worth, because it's the most entertaining sport I can imagine.
But whoever killed this sport... should themselves be killed.
Exactly. That's a person that
it's
hates
the only retribution
people.
We have is to find this person.
That's a person that doesn't care for people.
No.
Because this is a sport that could have made the Winter Olympics relevant.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, for
so
God's
good.
Sakes, people. There is something very, like, it started in the 60s and they stopped competing in it in 2000, which was a few years after the Olympics decided
yeah.
against including it. It's a sport that in many ways comes across as a very 80s sport.
Totally.
Something about them wearing big boots and, like, puffy sleeves, and everyone had a funny mustache who was in the exhibition. Like, something about it, it's, like, really cheesy.
Oh,
there's
so
nothing
cheesy.
Cheesier.
Because yeah.
there's no way to, like, beautifully
yeah.
dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like ice dancing, which we're going to talk about with you.
Right. But it is like figure skating, because nobody's beautifully dancing in figure
no,
skating
exactly.
either.
This is like watching the men's free program that we also watched this week,
which
was
a,
set to skis.
A disaster.
Yeah, that was, everyone fell down. No one was dancing beautifully at all.
No.
No one in men's ever does anymore. We're
no.
apparently past the age of people dancing beautifully in the men's free skate or
yeah.
any men's event at all.
Yeah.
But fine, whatever. If we're going to include that.
We're also
that,
past the age of landing jumps,
we're off,
apparently.
We're not landing the... jumps anymore. We don't do, well, this is what, I feel like there's two schools of jumps thought.
Mm-hmm.
One is that you should go for whatever crazy jump you're
right.
going to do at the Olympics, because, like, why else learn it if you're not going
right.
to do it at the Olympics? That's how I feel about Mao Asada and her triple axel. I hope she attempts several of them
yeah.
when the ladies' competition,
yeah,
which starts tomorrow, comes up.
She's not
yeah.
doing them.
No, she's not doing them, but at least she's trying.
Yeah.
No one else is trying. She's trying.
No.
So I feel fine about that. I feel great about that American pair that tries that quadruple.
Oh, the quad.
Sal-
yeah.
Like,
and the German pair who just threw in the throw triple axel arbitrarily at the end of their program.
They're literally my favorite people on earth.
Just the
they're
best.
Some of the tackiest people on earth.
Craziest.
As well. But I can't help but love
yeah.
them because
they did the Pink Panther routine.
They did the Pink
Panther
routine.
She was in a
pink
cat suit.
I mean,
they've also done a clown routine
yeah,
where they
the,
had
well,
face paint.
That's what
and
they did in Vancouver.
Clowns. Yeah.
That was their short program in Vancouver. Yeah. They got in. They
they're
got third.
They're good.
They're good.
And
they're
crazy. He's
yeah.
handsome too, by the way.
He's very handsome. And she's Russian.
Well,
so she's,
right.
she dances beautifully.
Yeah.
So it's everything you need in a pairs team. But they just sort of randomly were going for broke because they had messed up one jump early on in the
yeah.
program. And they were like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We're going to do a throw triple axel. They didn't land it, but I felt great about them trying. But then there's the other school of thought.
Mm. The Jason Brown school of thought.
The Jason Brown school of thought.
Yeah.
Where you only throw jumps that you can land so that the program doesn't look stupid when you're just on the floor the whole time.
Right.
Patrick Chan, I felt like, could learn a little bit about
yes.
that.
Because he's a lovely skater to watch.
He's a lovely skater
but
to
he
watch.
Has, he can do a quad, but mysteriously can't do a triple axel to save his damn life. He
right.
couldn't do a double axel.
Couldn't do a double. Don't,
he can't do an
don't
axel.
Don't put, you know, the simplest axel that you can muster into your
single.
Program. Don't
do,
even.
Do a wally.
If you have, because you're required to do one triple axel, fine. Do
that's
it.
That's it.
Try it. You're going to fall on it. Whatever. Don't put three other triples or three other axels into your program like
no.
an idiot. That's a terrible idea. Because he had all these other double axles and he kept
messing
them up.
Too.
And it was like, why did
the
you
The women
bother?
Are doing that. Stop doing that.
Yeah. No. I mean, just like... So I feel like you either throw the craziest jump that you can imagine and just right. go for broke.
Yeah.
But once or twice. Like, don't go crazy.
No.
And the rest of the time, don't put in jumps you can't land. That's boring for everybody.
It is.
Which brings us to ice dancing, where this is never a problem. And all of the winners are predetermined based on the public's like or dislike of them beforehand.
It's so funny. It was our turn to win this year.
Yeah, so we
and
did
we did. It was great. We just watched it. Yeah. We knew that we had won
a
beforehand.
Lovely program.
We knew that we won a while ago.
We knew that
after
we won
the last
ago,
Worlds,
fact.
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, it
didn't
have to.
It was our
to,
turn.
Pending, like, Meryl Davis slicing open, you know, Charlie White's face with her blade at some point during the program, they were going to win.
Right.
That's what happened.
And the beauty of ice dancing is that...
There's an emergency outside the sound studio.
Yeah. That as often happens. Anyway, the beauty of ice dancing is that the programs are fairly consistent. You might mess up on Twizzles. That's the only thing anyone knows how to identify that you're doing.
I said to Lila earlier today, I was like, I think the only reason they have to do the Twizzles is so that the average viewer just has something to know when someone is either doing correctly or incorrectly.
That's because the only reason you
I don't know
that.
Anything about ice dancing other than things that are pretty to watch, which I think is basically
all
the
of
only,
it.
All of it. And that's the only reason it exists anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, it's called ice dancing. It's like, whatever.
It's one of those things that they had to compete in because everyone else was getting to compete, and you needed a way to be the most famous at it. But, like, it's more of an entertainer sport. It's
but
not
the,
like a...
But the Twizzles and how fast people are going and how close people were skating together
those
are
the
only
things
you
know how to identify.
Anybody knows.
Brent and I were doing a pretty heroic job of commentating on the event ourselves.
Right.
One step ahead of Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Right. I mean, like, once you're at an event... Where the first thing that a commentator says during the program is, well, this program looks much different because she's wearing her hair down.
Yes.
Which is what I said when she skated out onto the ice, repeated seconds later from Tara Lipinski.
That's not a time that you need to be commentating on anything, really.
No, but it is a sort of sport that I love.
No, exactly.
Like once we're commentating...
Once we can talk about everyone's hair and outfits.
Hair and outfits.
I don't like the suspense of people falling down on ice skates.
Yeah.
I have done that recently, and I broke my wrist, and it was not fun.
Although the Paris competition really was
that was
just
an epic,
genius this year.
That was a great...
It was so good.
Well, and it was one of those things where, like, everyone was sort of fine, and then the top teams were just
so
good. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That Russian team that won was just,
like
spectacularly good.
And I, like, everyone who was on the podium, everyone who was in the top five, really, I just felt, like, fantastic about it.
Yeah.
Felt like they were great.
Yeah.
Which is rare, because a lot of the time in pairs, I'm sort of like, oh, these clunky people are so clunky.
And even our pairs team, which is, like, not sort of world class, but they did really, I mean, they showed themselves
well.
They
showed themselves well.
I mean, they had
personal
best in both their
team.
Short and
so
long
they,
programs.
Yeah. They sort of, like, showed their
athleticism.
People
were doing good in the pairs competition.
Were working it out. Unlike men's, no one was doing anything right in men's. It was a total shit show the entire time.
Yeah.
Jeremy Abbott
almost killed himself.
Failure.
At life, he is.
At life,
and he did good on his log program, bless his heart, but he didn't try the quad either, though.
Yeah. Once,
but that's it. There it is.
Beautiful long program.
Beautiful long program.
If he didn't
program.
Have such an annoying face, it would have been better.
Ugh,
but
the worst.
But if you're going to have an annoying face, do a program that people can enjoy. I felt great about his long program. I didn't mind watching it. Minded watching him when he was messing everything up, you know?
Yeah.
Not trying to get involved in that.
No.
I minded watching basically everyone in the long programs.
Ugh, they were terrible.
They were terrible. We had a couple great short programs. There was a world record set.
Oh, that was amazing. That what's his name?
Yeah, the Japanese
Nobody
kid that no one can pronounce his name.
No.
But everyone was just sort of mediocre.
Yeah.
And in ice dancing, everything just went according to plan. So there's no need to comment on what happened.
Yeah. There were no changes in standings between the short and the long programs.
Well, everyone knew where they were
going. And no changes going into the short program than what everybody already knew was going to happen.
Yeah. Everyone had been pre-ranked. The judges knew what the rankings were. Like, is there a substantive difference between Tessa Virtue and Scott Moore and...
No. And in fact, there's been a lot of debate.
No.
There's been a lot of debate amongst all of the different commentators that I've heard.
Everyone has a favorite.
Everybody has a favorite. Like, there's just sort of like... I mean, Johnny Weir likes the Canadians better. Tara Lipinski likes the Canadians better. That Australian woman who does it online likes the... Canadians better.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody sort of has like
the British guy who does it online likes
everyone
better.
Everyone's spectacular.
Everyone was spectacular, according to him.
Yeah,
they're so funny. Watch, we had to finish watching it online because we're having DVR issues, and it's so funny to transition from Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir to the British and Australian online commentators. No one even knows who they are, but they're like she's really dry and she sounds unimpressed even if she loves something, and he thinks everyone is spectacular.
Yeah,
and they'll say really condescending things.
They're sort of a good foil for each other.
Perfect. Yeah, they say really condescending things all the time. Like, well, that was the very best they could have done. You know, they should be very proud of themselves.
She's also
for that
saying a lot of things that sound like. Might be technical things, but also sound like she might be just making things up as she goes.
She's a fan of that. She sounds like a coach who may or may not be reciting made-up words to you to explain why your program was or was not good that time. Like, she's it's very coach-like language, but you're not really sure if it's real things that she's talking about. It's not.
Yeah.
In any case, there was a big hockey game.
Yeah, we beat Russia in hockey. Yeah.
I
in a scandal-ridden hockey game,
keep hearing
too,
about this. Still don't understand why it's a big deal.
I saw the important parts of the hockey game. NBC Perfect. Did the right thing and showed only, like,
only
the last bit of the overtime and then shootout. Which
that's
is,
all you need to see.
That's what you want to see.
Yeah. I don't even need to see that. I don't need to see any of hockey. I have a standing hatred of hockey players.
Well, hockey is... Hockey's dumb. I have a lot of respect for hockey players because... It's hard.
It's
it's very physical, and it's also, you're on skates, you're moving, the thing that you're supposed to be hitting is moving,
sure.
You are hitting it with a thing
you're
that you have to move.
You're wearing 1,000 pounds of equipment, so you can't move, really, because
it's hard. It's really sort of like the only, it's the only sport that has all of those pieces to it, where everything is sort of like constantly
moving
and,
and
fast.
Yeah.
So, but I don't want to watch it.
No. No one's trying to watch it. Also, I have just a general hatred of hockey players, because they're always in the way.
When you're
like
skating.
If you're skating and you're like not, you know, like freestyle sessions where figure skaters practice are often very early in the morning. So if you're just a casual amateur skater like myself, you'll go to a public session and just practice in the center.
Right.
Hockey
they're always
players,
doing hockey stops and like doing all
everything.
Really getting, they get in there.
They get in there. They're rolling around because they have all this padding on, so they don't care if they fall down.
Yeah, they can fall.
Yeah, they'll just do anything they want. They're annoying. And they love to zoom around really fast on the ice for no reason. So I'm against hockey and don't understand what that game was about, but I'm happy for us, I guess.
Yeah. Go us.
Go us.
Team USA. And we're tied for the medal count now, I think.
Yeah, we're tied for the medal count with,
Russia
and
maybe Canada? No, not Canada. No.
Britain or something?
No.
Norway? It's
Norway.
They don't fuck around when it comes to the winter.
Well, the reason that Norway is doing so well is because what we've discovered this week is that there are a lot of suspect Winter Olympic sports.
We've discovered, by the way, at the same moment that we discovered that ski ballet was not considered a legit Olympic sport. But somehow, fucking Nordic combined, which is cross-country skiing
and ski jump.
That's just two random events that are
thing.
Not a thing.
No.
And what, the biathlon?
Right.
Cross-country skiing and shooting?
No.
Now, I understand how in 1830s Norway, this would have been a great sport that
you
everyone
to,
could get into.
You had to go ski
it's
and you had to hunt your
it's a hunting
prey.
Sport. Yeah. I get it. I don't understand how now... Like, some woman from Czechoslovakia. No, that's not even a country anymore. Czech Republic. It was like a Czech woman, and then there was like a Slovakian that came in
third
or something.
How do they decide that they're going to compete in this?
She's like, oh, I'm an okay cross-country skier, but I'm going to take up shooting, too, to see if I can practice the biathlon. Like
what?
Finnish people were, like, owning this event, and it was like, wait, who in Finland is doing this?
Why do you need to do that?
What four women in Finland are deciding to, like, that's bonkers.
It's a curious
that's the
choice.
Craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I think, you know, cross-country skiing... is a sport that it's like the marathon. It's just, you know, I ran cross country in high school.
Yeah.
I get it. It's like cross country.
And I don't like
skis.
To watch that because it's boring, but
well,
you
and,
said that,
oh my
the
God,
the
guy
really going
who's
it.
Commentating on it for NBC should be hired to comment on every sport that is being played on any network, in America and abroad.
If you can make that sound exciting.
It was the most riveting. We were watching a cross-country relay, and it was the most riveting thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I can't imagine a more boring sport. And this is a sport where people are going so slow that people can jog casually next to them and give them instructions. Literally, you would see their coaches come up, like, sideways jogging to give them directions. And you'd be like, we're really not moving fast. This is Olympic cross-country skiing. We're not moving faster than this.
Yeah.
It's hard to cross-country ski. I would imagine it's a good way to get around in deep snow. It's not a great way to get around on packed snow, though.
Oh,
you really,
yeah.
At that point, you might as well put some shoes on and go for a jog.
Yeah,
like, no,
I know.
So, in any case.
I know.
On the face of it, it doesn't seem like it would be that exciting.
Well, there's
of a sport.
Been a lot of packed snow issues because
the skiing situation.
I was watching the women's skiing the other day, and like at one point, like only only five of the 13 people at a certain point who had come down had like made it down the damn hill because there was like this part of it that was like literally impossible, and only the people who went later in the day could make it down the hill, and that's because people were radioing up to the top of the slope and telling them what parts they might die during.
Yeah.
Basically,
no, I mean that's. And first of all, they have really hilarious names for all the parts of the hills.
The
Bolshoi Traverse is my favorite.
Uh-huh.
Only because it seems like the first downhill race that I watched, which I think was in some sort of like combined event, like freestyle combined.
There's
or
some,
whatever.
I don't know what
it's
all the
a lot
ski
of combined
are
events.
Either.
A lot of
like
events
the Super
where you're
G and the giant,
nobody understands the slalom.
You can't know.
No
what
one knows
those
what
things are.
Up.
No.
But they kept, you know, they were watching people go down the hill, and they just like would ignore every event. And there were jumps and, you know, I was going to say spins. That's not right. But then as soon as they would get to the Bolshoi Traverse, which was just like a sort of bumpy area, they would always mention, well, they're coming down the Bolshoi Traverse. Right. It was like...
That's the sort of flat-ish part where everybody loses speed and, like, it becomes a big issue for
everyone. The Bolshoi Traverse was fucking everyone's game up.
It really was.
It was. They weren't kidding on the Bolshoi Traverse. But it was, like, the only... And I was like, who... Because there was, then at a certain point, I looked up the names of the hills, and it was like Frog Hill, like, you know, Rabbit Cove, like random stuff, and then Bolshoi Traverse. It sounds so political.
I know.
It was so funny. But, yeah. And then there's Snowboard Cross.
I mean,
which is motocross on snowboards. That's a race on snow.
I didn't know that existed. Looks we saw fun. It. We just saw it on the TV last night.
Yeah.
Very briefly. Yeah. When we were at dinner last night in Santa Barbara. And we all were like, what is that? What's going on?
Let's see. Well, they literally look like they're on a motocross track, but it's snowy, and they're on and they're like wiping out, just like you know. It's everything you think it's going to be.
Weird.
And a lot of fun. If the cross country ski guy could commentate on that,
oh yeah,
it would make my life.
Yeah.
I want him. I wish he could do figure skating too.
Yeah. Who is it?
I don't know. Some guy. He's the guy who does cross country skiing. Who would that even be?
I don't know.
Like he sold it. He did part of the biathlon, and I was for a moment riveted, and then I was like, the fuck sport is this? It's ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous.
So, in any case, and we were actually at a laundromat today, and we were talking about a ridiculous combination of things, and someone was we're talking about the biathlon, right?
Yeah, this woman, who we did not know.
Yeah, just
chimed in, just chimed to in. Agree
she
with
knew
the
we were talking about the biathlon as soon as we said a weird combination of sports. She knew.
Yep.
Yeah, it was... crazy.
Yeah.
In any case, there was political news, sort of.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Which is boring.
We might be missing half of it, but...
It's... We'll catch you up next week. What's important this week is that the Olympics are still going on.
Uh-huh. And they're going to be next week, so maybe we won't catch you up
on the political news. Maybe in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever. Well, if something important happens, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
A debt ceiling deal passed.
Finally. Which... The House, John Boehner, not after we talked about the shenanigans last week that they might be getting involved in. They had a bunch of harebrained ideas about what they may or may not do.
I think that was just an empty threat, though. I mean, we sort of said that last week on the
Basically
podcast.
The day after, I think on Monday, Boehner said that he was going to vote on it, bring a clean bill to vote. A lot of the Tea Party loon bags were not happy about it, but of course, passed with flying colors because all the Democrats voted for it and the reasonable Republicans.
Right, weren't trying to get involved in another showdown over this. They also they restored the benefits to the veterans that they had taken away in the last shenanigan thing that they were up to.
And then the Senate passed it like 67-31, and of course, the president signed it. He signed it out here in California. They sent the bills to California
because he was
out here. He was on a golf weekend. He also did something else, though, too. Like, I think he also sort of like. Talked about, I think he was here with, wasn't he here with, what's his name for, I don't know, he did like some drought touring too while he was here.
Yeah.
I don't think that was his initial plan, I think he was out here for something else.
He was like
else,
out here,
like,
so they were like, make it look like you care about California's massive drought.
Because he doesn't. He
doesn't care at all.
No.
And then there was also, they delayed the implementation of the employer mandate for the Affordable Care Act.
For specifically for the sort of like medium-sized businesses with 50 to 99 employees. Yeah. So there's sort of been a lot of, this was probably this was a big story this week because of course the Republicans were mad about this and were sort of like saying that he just can't be doing whatever he wants to do with this. Although this is a thing that I think that they probably secretly are okay with
doing. They were advocating
doing.
This is one of the things, this is one of their famous delay it a year things. They love delaying things a
they
year.
Love
that was their
a
plan
year.
For Obamacare.
Well, America does.
Yeah, that's true.
We love to do that.
We love, well, it's like our deal with, is it Iran or Syria or whatever?
Yeah, Syria, I think.
We're
just
making a plan to make a
Iran,
plan.
Right. Yeah,
like
yeah.
making a plan to implement a plan that will be then, the plan is to have a plan, basically.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the deadlines are arbitrary.
Yeah.
We love delaying stuff. We don't like getting stuff done.
Exactly. The problem here is, though, is that a lot of people are saying is that these deadlines are not arbitrary.
Right.
Because they are sort of...
They're binding.
They're binding by law.
Yeah.
So there's been sort of like a lot of... there's been a lot of chatter about whether this is legal or not.
Right.
That he's just sort of like seems to be kind of like doing whatever the heck that he wants with this law just because it's called Obamacare.
Right.
So he could just sort of like decide what he wants to
decide
do.
Decide things.
So, and most sort of, you know, legal people are saying that this is actually legal. But the problem is that for it to be deemed illegal, someone would have to sue. And for anybody to sue, somebody, they have to have legal binding. And to have legal binding, you have to be able to sort of like show that you were harmed by that, or standing. And nobody is really
harmed
by this.
I mean,
per
the American people who don't have health insurance might be harmed by this.
Right.
But basically, it's, there's, the way the precedent works, If you have specifically stated that there's a mechanism by which to delay a law's implementation, then you can do it. But if you haven't actually declared a mechanism by which to do that, you have like the a date that is listed in a law is binding regardless. Right. So they're basically saying that if he had wanted to be able to delay this, there would have had to be something in the bill that said, you know, implemented on this date, except if the president says so.
Right, exactly. Know? Yeah. And the other thing is that people, I think, are upset, because, or at least Republicans anyway, because a lot of people think of, the thing is that most of these companies are already offering their employees health insurance, like something like 70% of them or something like that. So it's not necessarily affecting that many people when you think about the amount of businesses and like the amount of employees that those businesses have. But there has been sort of like a lot of chatter of people sort of like trying to get into the under 50 mark by laying people off and therefore not having to cover people, because like those small businesses exceptions doesn't kick in until a little bit later anyway. And so a lot of people are sort of mad because they think that he's just sort of like trying to bypass this into 2015 and not have to deal with it this year in a midterm election. Sort of like when you've going to have a lot of employers talking about how they're laying everyone off to make sure they don't have to give people health insurance due to Obamacare. So
I mean,
whatever.
This isn't surprising to me.
It's not. No,
it boggles my mind that there's no way to combat this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's, they're literally laying people, the employers are the, are the, not the victims, they're the villains here. Because if you're, like, laying people off so that you won't have to give them health insurance.
Yeah.
Those are two bad things.
You're doubly,
you're doing a double bad thing.
Everyone else should quit.
Everyone else should quit.
Working at that place.
Exactly. And they also, changed it so that employers with more than 100 workers will only have to offer insurance to 70% of their employees instead of 95%, which was mandated. So, there's, I mean, this is obviously a very political move. It affects the cost of the bill pretty significantly in a bad way.
Yeah.
Because those people end up back on the open market, you know, on the insurance markets that we're subsidizing.
Yeah.
So that is something that I think this is sort of playing into the GOP's hand in certain ways.
Right.
Because it's going to make the Affordable Care Act a more expensive proposition.
Right.
Well, and then they're going to be like, it's so expensive. And it's going to be like, well, this mandate helped balance it out. That was the reason they included it.
And whenever they have to push things like this, it also just makes it seem sort of hasty. Because the other reason that people are thinking that he probably did this is that they don't have the system set up to be able to figure out who's complying with this or not.
Right.
So it also sort of like
it's
has
like another
this,
website it's, not working.
It sort of has this air of like just the ducks not being in a row, sort of. And that is never good.
Never good. But it's a specialty of theirs, it seems.
It seems, of this
law. A lot of ducks are out of row, out of
sure
line.
Are. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Meanwhile, if you were wondering if Florida has ceased being the worst place on Earth.
Nope.
Wonder no longer.
Oh, boy. Just further confirmed,
If you were thinking to yourself after the whole Trayvon Martin thing that Floridians would learn a lesson and stop murdering random strangers.
Random black strangers.
Random black strangers.
Children's
teenagers.
Strangers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They only became more emboldened to do so.
Because now they did. Now we have a situation. There was a trial this week.
Yeah.
This guy, Michael Dunn, who was sitting in a convenience store parking lot.
Yes.
Was apparently not happy with the amount of, quote, ghetto music.
Thug music, I think.
That was coming out of the car of three teenage boys next to him.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
Four teenage boys next to him. And so asked them to turn it down, not politely.
I'm sure not.
And they replied, not politely, because they're fucking teenage boys.
Right.
So we fired 10 rounds into their SUV and killed one of them.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He claims that he saw a gun in the car.
That's
and
what you have to claim.
That's what you have to claim. And that he heard them say that he was going to, that they were going to kill him.
Yes.
There was no gun in sight,
there was no
obviously.
Gun
and
anywhere.
There's no one to substantiate this because his wife was in the convenience store at the time.
Right.
And instead of calling the police after he shot 10 rounds arbitrarily into the SUV, he and his wife fled and then spent the night in a hotel.
Yeah. They had been planning a night in a hotel. They just went on their merry way.
Yeah. Oh, well, we just killed somebody.
Evening as planned. Yeah.
Well, let's go have a romantic evening, honey. Yeah. but he is a known racist.
Yes.
He's talked a lot about thugs, and he sent some letters to people that were released. They weren't used in the trial, but like they were released from when he was in jail, like talking about like the more time that he spends with black people, the more that he learns to hate them. And like, because there's only black people in the prison and that they're all thugs.
This
and they're
jail
all like
is full of blacks and they all act like thugs.
Yeah.
He said.
Yeah.
So
I hope they act like thugs.
Yeah.
In his general direction.
Exactly. I hope that they live up to right. that.
Because he's going
to
be in the jail for a while. Because what ended up happening and what people were sort of like, you know, I think that people were sort of, it's a little different than the George Zimmerman trial because, like, luckily he was convicted on three attempted murder charges on the other three people who were in the car that did not die.
Because they all got shot.
Right, exactly. So he's going to spend sort of like up to 60 years in prison. So I think that a lot of people are at least like, well, you know, I mean, George Zimmerman could just start killing arbitrarily at any moment again, because he's walking just entirely free.
Being a crazy
this
person.
Guy is not going to be entirely free, but there's a lot of frustration on a lot of people's parts, specifically the African American community, because what happened was, is that the jury could not decide on the first degree murder charge of
the kid who actually died. They can't convict him for the actual murder, only the attempted murder.
Right. So the judge declared a mistrial. So they can retry the case. Like, it wasn't thrown out. It was a mistrial. So I think, hopefully it will be retried.
But it was one of those things where they sort of mentioned stand your ground.
Yeah, the defense attorney talked about it, like, in the closing statements and sort of, like, referenced that as, like, you know, this...
But this is, again, a situation where an unarmed black teenager is being shot by some random middle-aged white racist.
Yeah.
And that's not standing...
In Florida.
And that's not standing your ground if you're just arbitrarily shooting black people.
No.
That's... And it's always children.
Like, I know, right?
This is fucking teenagers. Pull out of the parking lot and leave.
Right. You know what teenagers do?
You know what
listen to loud music.
Yeah. You know what adults do? They leave an altercation without shooting somebody.
Right. This middle-aged white dude was probably at one point listening to The Grateful Dead too loud in his
He was listening to redneck music.
Yeah, he
was listening
to
country music too loud.
Yeah, he was.
And I know those people too, and they're just as annoying.
More annoying.
Yeah. So...
Ugh. Mainly because they're playing the country music.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to listen to that.
Trying to listen to
God,
that.
I'd rather listen to the thug music than the country
Seriously.
Music.
Lord. But this is the problem with the Trayvon Martin situation, is this should not have happened again in Florida, because Floridians should have learned from that mistake by convicting the person who murdered an innocent black teenager in the street and been like, oh, we should stop killing random people.
Yeah, but now if you're a white person and you just want to go hunting black teenagers, then
you can just do that in Florida.
You can do that.
And they have a law that protects you.
Yeah.
Like, I think the most telling part of this is, you know, in the Trayvon Martin case, it was just George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. It was a clear murder case.
Yes.
But it was just the two of them that were involved.
Yeah.
Like you said before, the fact that this involved three teenagers and the fact that they could convict him for attempted murder on the three teenagers and not for the actual murder he committed
if he attempted to murder the three people that were in the car with the person that he actually murdered, then he murdered that person
exactly. Like, were those people like that person he was like, oh, I saw a gun
I'm
in the car,
it's
he's
not
the
funny,
person who gets
I mean,
he's the person who gets the gun charge, you know, and then all the other three teenagers were just like randomly sitting around in a different situation, even though they were all in the car together.
Yeah, the media has been catching a lot of flack about this week too, because they've been calling it the loud music trial.
Yeah,
which like makes trivializes
it,
the whole
thing. It trivializes like, it, and it makes it sound like it was the fault of the teenagers. Which
right,
it's
it makes,
not.
Right, exactly. A loud music trial is when you
it's
call the police on your neighbors for
at
like,
11 p.m. because
you know,
they're having a party and it's
right,
too loud.
Not when you murder someone because you ask them to turn their music in their car down. Like that's
loud
not
music
this...
trials are something many of us have been involved in the past.
Yeah.
Along with dog barking trials and
it didn't involve 10 rounds
car
of
revving
bullets into another car next to you.
That's a murder trial. That's a gun shooting trial.
Yeah,
that's
not,
a different kind
a
of trial.
It's trial.
Not a loud music trial at all. And speaking of Florida,
George Zimmerman
is now claiming that he's broke, homeless, and suffering from PTSD.
Yeah, well, karma's a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
God.
The PTSD generated by murdering somebody.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
Soldiers also suffer from PTSD.
Yeah,
they often are having to kill people.
Yeah.
They're not randomly often. Well,
no.
I mean, maybe they are. I don't know what happens anymore. But they're not randomly just in a subdivision somewhere in Florida walking up to innocent teenagers and shooting
having
them.
Having to go to sleep every night as George Zimmerman would be stressful.
Would give you PTSD, yeah.
It's stressful.
He also owes a lot of money to his lawyers.
Because
as you can imagine, that was not pro bono work.
He made $300,000 from online donations.
Like?
Don't be doing that.
What?
If you're thinking about giving George Zimmerman an online donation, give it to us.
Give it to us.
We have a donate button
on our website.
BrainTrustLive.com.
Exactly. And if you don't want to give it to us, give it to the Red Cross. I don't care who you give it to.
Yeah.
This is not the right person. Give it to that bullied school bus driver.
Something.
Just do anything else.
Yeah.
This is not a plan. It's not a plan to give him money.
No.
That's
not at all.
I can't believe that he has even set up and you know that the list of donators, that's a list
oh boy.
That someone should be investigating.
Yes.
That's a list of of known racists.
that's known racists. That much like the IRS scandal investigated people
who we know don't want to pay taxes.
These are people who need to be put on a stand your ground murder watch list.
Yeah, exactly. Because when it turns out that they're the next person who commits a murder.
Yeah. Everyone who contributed to that 300,000 people is a white person who wants to hunt black people.
Yeah, that we can confirm based on science and math.
I keep laughing during this and I feel bad, but there's nothing else to do.
Florida is bonkers.
It's just so tragic.
We can't do anything about it because we don't live in Florida. And ultimately, it's the same way I feel about, Canada electing a bad president or whatever. Like, it's annoying to me because it affects me in ways. Canada was a bad example, but anywhere, sure. Electing an asshole president, whatever. Like, it's bad for us, just sort of in an international sense, but we can't do anything about it other than hope that people learn from their mistakes.
Right.
And I feel that way about Florida, where, like,
Florida is just not the type of place where people are doing that.
I know. Though. They're tolerating a stand your ground law. They should not be doing that.
No.
That's a mistake that they're making. And there are clear victims in this situation. But, like, at a certain point, Florida has to solve this for themselves.
Right.
Californians can't be solving this for Florida. We can know not to pass our own stand your ground law.
And we're not going to.
Which we're not going to.
Never would. We're smart enough.
We can't know what to do about Florida.
Can't.
We can't know.
No.
They're doing the wrong thing. It's their life. If they want to be doing the wrong thing, I would recommend leaving Florida if you're a black teenager in that circumstance.
You have to.
You're going to be murdered. But, we as Californians can't do anything about it, except that I feel like we as a federal system should do something about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Because this is a clearly unconstitutional law.
It is.
And this, I think, makes it super clear. This legalizes murder.
If he doesn't
get charged with that.
Right. We said that. Yeah.
Then we've legalized murder. And that's actually not unconstitutional. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Here's an update from a story that we were covering heavily not too long ago, because we all remember, what was his nickname? I mean, it was Bob Filner, but like Feely Filner or something like that. Yeah. Wasn't there some, he had some, clever alliteration nickname, basically. Bob Filner, the mayor of San Diego, who had to leave office. He went to rehab. He was like,
He went to sex rehab.
Didn't he like leave early and like not want to go and like it was a whole thing.
He didn't want to go. He left 2 weeks.
He was trying to stay in office after like 74 women basically like came out and said that he was harassing them. Finally left, and the problem was, besides the just general problem of him being a skis bag, was that you and I talked a lot about like he was going to ruin San Diego. Was like the last sort of Republican
bastion of Republican nonsense in cities.
In the state of California, and we had finally taken it back over. Yeah. Bob Filner had saved the day, and every place in the entire state was being run by Democrats.
Yeah.
Bob Filner finally took it back over San Diego, because it's a fairly conservative place.
Yeah.
We knew that he was going to ruin it.
He did.
For God knows how long, and he did. Because we now have a Republican mayor down there.
Yeah.
Ugh!
And won in, like, by a pretty big margin.
By a huge margin, yeah. Nobody wants to see Democrats running San Diego in any time in the near future.
It's like, don't be the guy.
Don't
be that guy. That's not.
Oh man.
The right move. Yeah. This is disappointing, not only because we live very close to San Diego.
Yes.
But because San Diego is actually one of the largest cities in the country, and
it's a lovely place too.
It's a lovely place. It's beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. Beautiful
location.
It has a nice zoo. It has a wonderful zoo.
Yeah.
And it's one of the few large cities that is sort of a conservative large city. You know, the population numbers in the millions there.
Right.
It's a very big city.
It has a lot of sort of like beachside rich communities. Yeah. And it sort of like has the Mitch Romney crowd sort of like is palling around in San Diego a lot of times. You know, I mean, it has a lot of other, it has a diverse crowd, but like
it's not a city of artists.
It's not
a creative city. It's a city that makes money doing very generic, like run-of-the-mill things, and it has a lot of kind of wealthy yacht owners living there.
That's what it is.
And you know, if you are a creative person and you're from San Diego, you move to LA. LA is only 2 hours away. Like, so because of that, it sort of is a self-segregated population of annoying people. So it was actually quite a big...
It was heartening to see a Democrat.
Yeah, it was a big deal to see a Democrat in there. Because, Los Angeles is not really in the current world in danger of being run by a Republican.
No, never.
You know, the mayoral race here is always just between
three Democrats.
Yeah, exactly.
Each other. Yeah.
And, San Francisco, same thing. Like, I mean, they're not. It's not going to be a Republican running San Francisco or Oakland, for that matter. No. Or, you know, anything in the Bay Area except for like a few tiny suburbs. But like San Diego is a very big city.
Yeah.
And so, and it's one of the few cities that this could even be the case in. And California was just like on the right track. And Bob Filner had to mess everything up.
Bless America.
Because we're basically in like a mega city with San Diego. The same way sort that, of. I mean, that like, Boston, New York, D.C. is sort of like its own mega
city. Yeah, because like you hit big we're cities on the way to San Diego. Because like you go through Orange County, which is its own sort of like large community. And you go through, like, it's just like a,
It's I mean, city all the way until you get to San Diego and then you're in another city.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yes. No, that took me a second. But yes, so that's right.
We're sort of inextricably linked to them in a way that I don't to be.
Yeah, and it's also sort of a bummer, too, because the guy that he was running against was running to be the first
He was going to be the first Latino
mayor from there. So that would have been exciting. But, I mean, there was no way the Democrat could have won. No. I mean, they were just, there was a, you know, and Bill Clinton, or the most loved Democrat, was not going to win that mayoral race down there.
Yeah.
Just because they weren't.
They weren't. Exactly. In news that we haven't had much of a chance to discuss.
Right, and this was big national news this week, too.
Major news.
Yeah.
We have sinkholes.
Sinkhole radio.
Sinkhole radio is back. Yes. There was a hilarious sinkhole.
Oh, my God.
That broke out in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Right under the National Corvette Museum.
Yes.
Swallowed, like, 8 Corvettes.
Right, and it was a big one, too. It was 40 feet wide, 20 feet deep.
Yeah.
Like, it just opened up and started eating cars.
And there's video of it.
Eating classic cars. You can watch
video.
Yeah, there's security video from it.
Of the sinkhole just slowly swallowing these 8 cars.
It's upsetting.
It's really eerie.
It's
they sent weird. A drone down there.
Yes, that's is weird too.
Weird too. Yeah. And they were. They said that there's no structural damage. How is there no structural damage? The whole swallowed 8 cars in this building.
I don't
there's
get
no
it.
Structural damage to the building. That seems wrong.
That seems wrong.
And is it just like now? It's just like a building with like a really deep basement. Like
what? I don't know.
Like how do you clean up from that sinkhole?
Right. Well, and at a certain point, like once you have a sinkhole, like on top of a mammoth cave national park, which is what they've sort of decided potentially caused this. Like, can the whole building just fall into the cave system? Like,
How do we?
The science behind this, at least for me, is fuzzy. I'll be perfectly honest. I'm just fascinated.
I'm floored by what happened.
Right.
It seems that sinkholes have very specific tastes in automobiles.
Yeah.
So that's something new that we've learned about sinkholes.
Yeah.
But I also sort of feel like maybe this is a sign that there should not be a museum showcasing heavy items like cars
In this region. On top of a cave
on
system?
On top of a cave system.
Or in Kentucky. Who wants to go there anyway?
Right. I mean, don't have a museum in Kentucky. But also, if you're going to, look for some solid ground. Put that museum on some really solid ground. Because if you have a... This occurred in a room that contained at least 8 Corvettes.
Right.
I'm rarely in rooms that contain 8 cars. No. That's not...
No.
And the only time that you're really ever in rooms like that are in parking lots, right. And they're made of asphalt.
Or if you're at, like, Mitt Romney's house.
Right. Car elevators.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in New York City, you have a lot of car elevators, so you have a lot of parking lots where they stack cars, like, 4 or 5 sure. high.
Yeah.
But that's on bedrock. I'm not worried about a sinkhole over there. Like, we don't... Obviously, Kentucky, they should be a little more careful.
They're not.
Yeah. And that serves the National Corvette Museum right, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. And in final news, this was also a big story, too, mysteriously.
Huge. So this go to show you that we didn't miss anything.
I was going
to
say, this comforts me that we didn't miss any major news this week, because I saw this on multiple news outlets.
Yeah, this was everywhere.
There's a clown shortage, people.
Yeah. If you were wondering why you haven't been laughing as much as usual, or crying and screaming in terror as much as usual, apparently... Membership to the Clowns of America International, based in Florida, where everything makes sense now, it's plummeted since 2006.
Yes.
We're facing a major shortage of clowns.
Yeah. And also, membership at the World Clown Association, which is the country's largest trade group for clowns, has dropped from 35,000 to 25,000 since 2004. So, first off...
3,500 to 2,500.
Oh, excuse me,
25,000 clowns. that's too many.
That's too many.
That's more clowns than we need.
Yeah. But, questions.
Yes.
Why are there so many clown organizations?
What? First of all, it seems like clowning is such a specific art that
right.
you could just have a single clown organization that represents everybody.
Right. I forget that they call it clowning too. Like reading this article, like there were quotes from people who are like, "Well, you know, the clowning in you know, and just like clown." It's
and they
weird
consider
to just,
like
read
very
that as like a
specific.
Thing.
It's like ice dancing. It's like it's very specific form of this thing that you practice. There's clown colleges.
Yes.
There's, you know, there's training programs for clowns. I don't know what your career trajectory is as a clown.
Well, that's what the thing is. They said that the sort of decline is due to just general declining interest, old age of current clowns, and also higher standards among employers, it said.
What?
This article
standards?
Said. What standards are those?
What?
I mean, I realize, like, to be in sort of, like, Barnum and Bailey, you have to be, like, you have to be a professional clown.
Sure.
I get that. Like, there are probably specific skills that, as a person who is in, like, a circus that is traveling the world,
how to walk a
tightrope
and do other fun things.
Yes, you have to
ride in a car.
You have to know how to do things. You have to be a good actor, I'm assuming. Like, I get that. But, like, I don't get what the high standards are just for clowning to be dropping from 3,500 to 2,500. Like, were there 1,000 people who, like, didn't meet some sort of clown standard? It's weird to think about, right? I mean,
oh my god, you're right. Failing clowns. Clowns that were not funny enough? Are they not goofy enough?
I don't know.
Are they
too scary? Not too scary enough? I don't know.
We literally don't know, because we can't even begin to
guess. German ice dancers there's a career opening for them. The pairs team. The German pairs team.
Yeah, the German pairs team.
Yeah, the clowns.
Thank god, because they're about to retire.
Yeah.
And I was a little worried about where they were going to go, because there's... What skill does Ice...
I think she might be too big of a bitch to be a clown, though.
Oh, for sure. She's definitely
her resting
huge
bitch
diva.
Face is too much to be a clown.
Her active bitch face was on display at the medal ceremony.
Yes.
She was not having
happy.
That bronze medal.
Well, that's what you get for doing a bronze medal performance.
Exactly. That's true.
Sorry about it.
I feel like, though, they should have gotten a gold medal for trying. Because no one else tried a throw triple axer.
Yeah.
A throw triple axel. So, you know, that's... A for effort.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
In any case. Anyway,
clowns. It sounds like if you're currently having career problems.
It's a growth sector.
Right now. It is. You could really get in.
It's like nursing. They're always looking for nurses, and they are always looking for clowns.
That's it.
Yeah.
Next time you get your career rock bottom notification.
Yes.
You should remind yourself to become a clown.
Yes.
You've always loved the circus.
I've always
you
loved
dreamt
the circus.
Of going
I've
away to the circus.
Dreamt of running away
be
with the circus.
Be a clown.
I worry that I'm not. A goofy
the
kind
clowning
of
type?
I'm not the clowning type of circus
could
performer.
Could you be the sad clown?
Maybe.
Don't they have sad clowns?
Yeah.
Don't they always have a clown?
The clown.
With like a,
the sad clowns, though,
up?
I feel like still do goofy clown things. And they wear funny shoes still.
Yeah.
Like overalls and funny shoes.
You could do that.
I mean, I guess I could do
That's just a costume.
That's a costume. I can wear a costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. As long as I wouldn't have to smile and make funny faces. Yeah. I don't like making funny faces.
You probably have to smile and make funny faces to graduate from clown college to be able to get into a
I
place
wouldn't meet
where
the
you can
standards.
Be... No. Too high.
I would like to be a trapeze artist in the circus.
Yes.
I think that would be the most
fun. You could, because you're small.
I know. I don't know why. This is just not a thing that people are having available to them to try.
I know.
It's like...
We do here. You should go to the trapeze thing at the pier sometime.
I feel a lot about trapeze. I feel about trapeze the way I feel about bobsled, which is like, if you think of it, you can be a professional at it.
Yes.
If you think to try trapeze, then you're basically already a professional trapeze artist. If you think to try bobsled, you're one of only four people that have ever thought to do that, so there's a chance you can go to the Olympics.
Yep.
If you want to try luge, you can go to the Olympics for luge, because you've thought of going for luge. Once you've thought of it, that's the only
that's
barrier
it.
To entry.
Yeah.
It's
like the first step. It's similar to admitting that you have a problem.
Yeah. Admitting that you want to go to the Olympics for luge is all it takes to get there.
Done.
You're done. Yeah. So, in any case, we leave you on that note.
Yes.
Hopefully next week there won't be any more floods in my apartment, but we can't know.
Fingers crossed.
Because the plumbing is pretty wonky in there.
Knock on wood.
Or any other kind of disaster.
Yeah.
Because that's not the only kind of disaster that could
happen. Because I had a minor disaster yesterday. I dropped my phone.
Yeah.
I shattered my phone screen in Santa Barbara.
We had this
big debacle.
An empowering moment, though, where we were just able to get it fixed that day. No problem.
I know. It was great.
Yeah. That's what technology has come to, guys. You can fix your phone screen.
You know where I didn't get it fixed?
The Apple Store. Where they wanted to... It was going to take an hour, first of all, which is suspect.
No.
Second of all, it was going to be an hour at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
We would have to wait all day to then get our phone
fixed. I got it done at some sketchy kiosk.
Yeah. Looks fine.
Working fine. That's all I care about. Anyway.
In any case, we will talk to you next week. We hope you had a good long
weekend.
We're going
to look for Ski Ballet.
Oh, yeah. We're going to post that
like
nobody's business.
Yeah.
That's going to be about as posted as things can get. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.